This is University Beats. I'm Mark Schreiner. Early last year, Mary B. Collins was diagnosed with cancer in her right breast. The 68-year-old Lakewood Ranch resident opted for a double mastectomy.
Mainly because I had already had four previous biopsies done on the right breast, and I made the judgment call that eventually that would happen on the left side, so, you know, might as well have them both removed and not have to worry about going through the same thing on the left side.
The surgery was followed by a lengthy regimen of chemotherapy and radiation treatment. While the cancer has apparently been vanquished, Collins has seen some possible side effects since the treatment ended. But they're not physical side effects.
I'm not as sharp as I used to be. Things that I could call to mind quickly, I have to stop and I have to think about it. I have to run through the alphabet, and sometimes it will not come to mind. 2 hours later, I can remember it.
While her long-term memory is good, Collins wonders what's causing her short-term memory problems.
I know that I'm aging, but maybe the chemo has made it progress a little faster. Those things I don't know.
Moffitt Cancer Center is examining this issue with a National Cancer Institute-supported study that's seeking volunteers. Dr. Paul Jacobson is the Associate Center Director from Moffitt's Division of Population Science.
There's growing evidence that among a certain subsample of people who get chemotherapy, they experience some cognitive problems in the months or years after chemotherapy administration. Problems in memory, attention, concentration.
These problems, also known as chemo brain, have been seen in cancer patients in their 30s and 40s, but are more prevalent in older patients.
But it's important to tease apart the effects of the cancer treatment on the brain from what might be normal aging. So the only way to tell the difference is to recruit a similar group of people the same age and give them the same tests.
The Thinking and Living with Cancer study is drawing one group from women like Collins who are already receiving treatment at Moffitt for breast cancer. What's needed from the public is healthy test subjects.
What we're looking for help from the community is to recruit women 60 years of age or older who speak English who do not have any form of cancer. This is the comparison or control group we want for our study.
Moffitt, a partial underwriter for University Beats, is about halfway towards meeting its goal of 100 members for the control group.
They will need to come here to Moffitt on three occasions a year apart, and what we ask them to do are take some tests that are basically tests of mental abilities. We also collect a saliva sample for DNA analysis. We have some ideas that there may be certain people that might be at increased risk due to certain what are called genotypes.
Jacobson adds that studying chemo brain is important because right now there's no real treatment that prevents or reverses the problem.
But things that work for other people who are experiencing mild memory or cognitive difficulties do seem to be helpful in the situation as well. So, for example, obvious things like keeping lists or using different tricks to improve your memory can all be helpful. Whether or not sort of overtraining your memory and doing crossword puzzles every day might prevent this, not clear.
And he urges healthy women over the age of 60 to think seriously about why they should sign up for the study.
There may be personal reasons. Maybe they've had a friend or family member who's had breast cancer and they've been wondering what they can do to sort of help out. This is one way to add to science so that we can better understand the problems that women with breast cancer experience and treat them.
Participants in the Thinking and Living with Cancer study will be compensated for each of their three visits. There's information about joining on our webpage, wusf.org/universitybeat. For University Beat, I'm Mark Schreiner.